But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting and building, but on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. And they say to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Wherever the corpse is, there is that the vulture will gather." And now turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 23 to 26. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities on what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the Lord went up like the smoke of furnace. So it was when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. This is the reading of the holy and the infallible word of God, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word into our hearts. Let's pray together so that the Lord would bless the preaching of his word tonight. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, this time as we come to your word, the eternal word, the bread of life, we ask you to speak to each and every one of us through your holy word. Give us a heart that would believe, and a will that would obey to you, our God. Eyes that would see, and ears that would hear, and lives that would apply what you have for us in your word in our daily Christian walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, if someone comes to you and ask you to remember Abraham, what comes to your mind? If you are like me, I would remember Abraham obeying God in sacrificing his only son, Isaac. And if someone comes to you and asks you to remember Rahab, the prostitute, what comes to your mind? Maybe what comes to your mind would be her kindness to the three spies from Israel. What about Ruth? If someone comes to you and he asks you to remember Ruth, what comes to your mind? I'm sure you would remember the faithfulness of that woman to her mother-in-law. The fact that she followed the God of her mother-in-law. What is strange, what is odd about remembering the three characters that I just mentioned to you? When we look into the scripture, we learn many, many good things about faith from these characters. But what about when someone comes to you and he asks you to remember Lot's wife? What comes to your mind? Every time that a person asks us to remember Lot's wife, I'm sure a dread and fear would come to our life. Because Lot's wife is connected with divine judgment, with divine punishment. She was a woman who rejected a clear command of God not to look back to Sodom. And as a result of her disobedience and unbelief, she was destroyed by God. Jesus said to his disciples, remember Lot's wife. Remember what was taking place. The Pharisees asked Jesus about when the kingdom of Christ will come, when the Messiah would come. And he kind of ignored the Pharisees. And he said to his disciples, I just want you to do one thing for me. Not to know the unpredictable, not to try to know what you are not supposed to know, the coming of the Messiah. But I want you, as my followers, people who loves me, people who loves my Father, I want you to do one thing. Just remember Lot's wife. What is the importance of that? Why do we need to remember Lot's wife? Tonight, I want us to observe and consider together two things concerning this woman. First, what the sin of this woman was. And secondly, lessons that we learn from the final outcome of this woman that we call Lot's wife. So first, what was the sin of this woman? Moses tells us in verse 26 what the sin of this woman was. But Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt, said Moses. So from the surface, you would say the sin of this woman was looking back. And it is true, when she looked back, she sinned against God. When she looked back, she refused a clear command from God not to look back to Sodom. But I want you to ask tonight, was it the only sin that she committed? Would the sin of this woman describe it to all of us only by looking back? There was more that this woman did. There was more that this sin committed against God. Her sin was not only looking back, but she was missing the things of Sodom. Deep in her heart, she wants to go back to Sodom. She was already missing the things of Sodom. The great American scholar, Elder Maxwell, one time in his observation about Lot's wife, he said this, and I quote, such people, he said, like Lot's wife, know that they should have their primary residence in Zion. They know, he said, they know that they should set their priority on Zion. but they still keep a summer cottage in Babylon, he said. They know what they're supposed to do. They know that they must love God. But deep in their heart, they desire, they long to stay in Sodom, to stay in the world. John, in 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 17, he said this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Let me stop there. If anyone, John said, if anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. My friends, this is not a simple statement. This is huge concerning the Christian life, concerning the love of a believer for God. What John is saying here is, if anyone is in love with the world, he doesn't understand the love of God the Father. He doesn't understand the provision of God to sinners, who is Jesus Christ, his Son. He doesn't understand the eternal life in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he said, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires." And then he said, "But whoever does the will of God," notice carefully, "whoever does the will of God," which means that person who doesn't look back, not looking back to the world, is doing the will of God. And that person who doesn't do the will of God does not abide forever, but the one who does the will of God, who doesn't look back, abides forever, which means eternal life will be his. It belongs to that person. I remember one time we had a former member in Eritrea who once came to me. And if you are like me, I love believers like that, very open, honest about what is going on in their Christian life. And he said to me, "Pastor Zaki, I think I am looking back." Word by word, he quoted these words and he said, "I think I'm looking back. I think I'm loving what I have already abandoned in this world." And by God's providence, we read 1 John 2, 15 to 17. "And when I say to him, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." And he said to me, "That's what I want in my life right now. That's what's taking place in my life." And he came back to the Lord. He came back to his senses. Paul in 2 Timothy 3, and I'm reading part of it from 1 to 5, he said, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." What difficulty? And he said, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure." Do you know the second name of Sodom is pleasure? And Paul said, people in last days, they will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he said, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power of the gospel. The appearance of godliness, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is coming to church, singing, praying, having fellowship with believers, but no love for God. You don't love God. You come to church, you don't love God. You come to church, you don't love the law of God, as we just sang together. You come to church, but you are not connected with the vine as a branch. You are disconnected from the branch. You don't love God. And Paul said, they have the appearance of religion. They have the appearance of godliness, but they don't love God. That time will come, Paul said. That was, you see, the outside image of Lot's wife. Remember, she was a wife of a righteous man. He was not a perfect man. He was backsliding. But Peter, in 2 Peter 2:8, concerning Lot, he said this, "For as that righteous man lived among them day after day." He calls him that righteous man lived among the Sodomites day after day. Now I want you to understand why God came to Sodom. God actually came to Sodom to rescue a backslider, to snatch out a backslider and his family from the power and the influence of Sodom. God was being faithful to his covenant, to the covenant of grace. But there is danger here. Some of us, when we hear things like this, we might presume on God's mercy. We might say, okay, so I can still live in Sodom. And then God, because of his faithfulness, for the sake of his name, he will come to the place where I am, to a wicked and sinful place, and rescue me. Remember, there was a consequence for Lot. He lost his wife. Because he chose to live in Sodom, he lost his wife. Because he chose to live in Sodom, his two sons-in-law were perished in Sodom. Because he chose to live in Sodom, when the visitors, the angels, came to the city and they were to attack the visitors, the angels, Lot, he pleaded with the people in the city not to harm, not to attack the angels. Instead, he would give them his two daughters, innocent daughters. Unthinkable sin. That was the consequence of his sin. Do not presume on God's mercy. And yet, what happened with Lot, what happened in Sodom, will never change the attribute and the character of who God is and how he works to accomplish his holy purpose in the redemption of his people. When you come back to Lot's wife, what do you learn? This woman was so privileged. She was a wife of Lot. Abraham was her uncle. When God gave his promise to Abraham, she was there. She was the most privileged woman. She never opposed Lot about following God, loving God. We don't see that in the scripture. And yet what we see in the life of this woman, she didn't love God. She doubted. She doubted the Lord's ability to give her something better than she had in Sodom. In her mind, deep in her heart, nothing laid ahead could possibly be as good as what Sodom offered to her. When she looked back, she was saying, "I would rather have Sodom than the saving grace of God that took her out of Sodom." She was privileged, but she didn't love God. Lot's wife's confession was contrary to Paul's great confession in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul said, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lays ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God." What was the thing that he was pressing on? What was the thing that he calls the goal of his life? I don't know how many of you have studied this verse, but many, many theologians would agree that he meant true religion. His highest goal in life was true religion, which means not to have any other God than the God of the Bible, than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the highest goal of his life, or to know Christ. and the power of his resurrection is another form of our love for God, our dependence on God who gives us life, which is eternal, which is everlasting. Paul said, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them all as rubbish, as nothing. Simply because he loved God, simply because he never wanted to go back as an apostle. You see, when he said, I straining forward to what lies ahead, Paul was saying, I am one of the children of God who never looks back. I just press on. I look forward towards heaven, never looking back to what I have abandoned in my life. Let me ask you this tonight, my dear friends. Are you looking back to the world? Is there a time in your life, a situation in your life, where you attempted to look back to what you have already forsaken as a Christian? Is there a time in your life where you say, the Christian life is becoming boring, God and the things of God are becoming routine in my life, I think I want to go back to the world, to Sodom? The exhortation of the scripture to you, my friend, is remember Lot's wife. Remember the outcome of her life. But what we learn, what do we learn from her final, the final outcome of her life? Of course, the final outcome was eternal destruction. Remember, she was struck dead at once and turned into a pillar of salt. And our Lord Jesus Christ holds this woman up as a beacon to his church, as a warning signal to his people. Like the traffic light that warns you not to transgress the traffic law, this woman, Christ holds her up as a beacon for his church, for his people. And gently and lovingly and kindly he says, son, daughter, don't pass this warning sign. If you pass, what waits for you is eternal destruction. What is the danger? The warning was given to the disciples and was about the coming of the kingdom of God, his second coming. But remember what Jesus was telling his disciples. He was telling them to value gospel privileges. Not to disregard the richness of God's grace and God's love in their life. Lot's wife was the wife of a righteous man. And as I mentioned it earlier, she had all these privileges, the faith, the knowledge, and the prayer of these two men could have been no secret to her. When Abraham first received the promise, she was there and she learned about the promise of God, which was eternal. She saw the angels who came to Sodom. She experienced their care, their power, when they took her by their hand. She was helped to escape Sodom. This all, my friends, were not small privileges. The problem was, you see, her affections were never really set on things above. That was the problem. Her problem was the eyes of her understanding were not opened. Yes, she confirmed to her husband's way, never opposed him, but all those times her heart was far from God. The people of God, religion is a matter of the heart. The Bible says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Remember the parable of the barren fig tree. The owner of the fig tree, he planted the garden. He watered it. And he went away for 3 years and came back seeking fruit in his garden. There was no fruit. And he calls the garden taker and he tells him to cut off, to destroy the vineyard. But the one thing that we learn in that parable is the privilege of the gospel. Jesus was saying, I was here for 3 years. I proclaimed the kingdom of God. I proclaimed grace to all these people. But there is no fruit. And he said, cut it off. Cut it off. That was the verdict of God the Father. You could be like Lot's wife. Young children, I want to remind you that the fact that you have been born in a Christian home, the fact that you have been privileged to attend the means of grace from Sunday to Sunday doesn't guarantee your salvation. The question is, do you truly love God? Are you united with Jesus Christ by faith? Do you really love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Have you placed your trust on Christ, Christ alone, for your salvation? Are you led by the Spirit? Have you forsaken the world and all its desires? You see, that's what you learn from Lot's wife. All the gospel privileges, all the privileges of the covenant of God were around her. And if your answer is yes, I'm struggling, I'm forsaking the ordinary means of grace, I want to encourage you to remember Lot's wife tonight. Jesus in Luke chapter 9, he said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Notice carefully, Jesus said he can't serve God truly and from the heart because he has set his heart on the things of this world. He's not fit to become the disciples of Christ. In fact, James gives us a very good description of that in James chapter 4. When he said, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Somehow, if your heart is in friendship with the world, you are at enmity with God. Not only you don't love God, but you hate God and you are against God. And you should remember Lot's wife in your life. That was her sin, and that is what you learn from the final outcome of the life of this woman. And my question to all of you tonight is this: where are you in regard to your love for God? Where are you concerning your spiritual growth? Where is your love? Is it increasing? Is it pleasing to God? Are you far from resembling Lot's wife by God's grace? Or you are one of those believers who are struggling with their love for God? Remember Lot's wife. Are you sick? Are you looking back, my friends? Are you depending on gospel privileges for your salvation, for true happiness in this life? There is no true happiness without being in Christ, without having true love for God. Take this warning with you and for your Christian life tonight. Remember Lot's wife. Never abandon God's love and grace for you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are for the preaching of your word tonight. We know at times we doubt your love. At times we act like Lot's wife. We know that we are secured in the blood of Christ. We are secured by the power of his resurrection for eternal life, for us to arrive in our final destination, which is heaven. But there are times in our Christian life that we sometimes look back. Help us not to abandon our first love. Abandon our love and our commitment to you, our Heavenly Father. Help us to remember Lot's wife tonight and do what you have commanded us to do in the Scripture, to love you with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strengths. Not to follow the example of Lot's wife, but to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. And to always say, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I press on to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. May these words be the words and the commitment and the pledge of every believer in this sanctuary. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.